Alright, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International on this Tuesday evening, 20th October, which also corresponds to 7th Muharram, 1437 AH. We welcome Mufti Sahab on the line. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How is Mufti Sahab feeling this evening?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We say Jazakallahu khairan for your valuable time, Mufti Sahab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance.
Ameen, summa ameen, Maulana. I hope you're keeping well.
Ji, I'm also well, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab, also well, jazakallah. Mufti Sahab, we are approaching the day of Ashura. We find ourselves in the month of Muharram, so many questions came with regards to this day of Ashura and with regards to Ashura. But let's start with a question. Can Mufti Sahab please explain in details with regards to the day of Ashura, the virtues and the history of Ashura?
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadil ladhin ustafa ma ba'd. Regarding the virtue, the day of Ashura and the virtues and the history of Ashura. First of all, we have to understand that the word Ashura is derived from the Arabic letters Ashara, which means 10. So Ashura is the 10th day of the calendar, it's the 10th day of Muharram. The month of Muharram itself has got great significance. It is a month which is among the four auspicious months in the Islamic calendar. And it is such a month that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding this month that the best fast, aside from the fast of Ramadan, are the fast of Muharram. That is, throughout the month of Muharram to fast has great virtue. One narration says that one fast is equal to 30 yawman, 30 days of fasting in lieu of one day of fasting, the reward is. As far as the day of Ashura is concerned, this day is also a very great and significant day in the Islamic calendar. This is a day in which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted. Before the fasting of Ramadan was made compulsory, the day of Ashura was compulsory to fast. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, the children of Sahaba also fasted on the day of Ashura. Then when Allah ta'ala made the fasting of Ramadan obligatory, then the fasting of Ashura became voluntary. Regarding the reward of the fasting of the day of Ashura, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I hope that it will cause the sins of the past year to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, besides the reward of 30 days of fasting, just for fasting the day of Ashura, that is separately a independent reward. And one great reward is that the sins of the past year are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This refers to the minor sins. For the major sins, a person must make tawbah and istighfar. Regarding the day of Ashura, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Madinah Munawwara, he inquired from the Jews, why were they fasting on this day? And they said, as a matter of thanksgiving, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered Bani Israel and Musa alayhi salam from the tyranny and oppression of Fir'aun on this day. Therefore, out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also fast on this day of Ashura. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if that is the case, then we are more deserving and closer to Musa alayhi salam. Therefore, it is more becoming for us to fast on this day. From then onwards, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept the fast of Ashura, which was a voluntary fast, but he fasted this fast. At the end of his life, he said that Khaliful Yahud, you should go against the way of the Yahud. If they are fasting on the day of Ashura alone, then you should fast a day before. Sumu yawman qablahu or yawman ba'dahu. Fast a day before or a day after. So therefore, we should fast on the 9th and 10th or the 10th and 11th, but not on the 10th alone. Regarding the day of Ashura, one significance of the day of Ashura is to spend generously on one's family on this day, the result of which there will be barakah in the sustenance of a person for the entire year to follow. Regarding the history of the day of Ashura, A brief indication has already been made when I explained that Allah Rabbul Izzat delivered Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam from the tyranny of Fir'aun, and he delivered the Bani Israel from the tyranny of the armies of Fir'aun on this day, the 10th of Ashura. So this was a great day for the believers, and there is a message of hope in it for all the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a day when He will deliver the oppressed ones from oppression, and He will destroy and punish the oppressors. Like how Allah ta'ala punished Fir'aun and his people, they were drowned, and that very same water became the means of salvation of Bani Israel. That very water was the cause of the drowning of Fir'aun and his armies. Apart from that, there are some other narrations that speak of some other events that happened on the day of Ashura. Like, for example, somewhere it is stated that Adam alayhi salam's Tawbah was accepted on the day of Ashura, and Nuh alayhi salam's Ark landed on the day of Ashura, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was delivered from the fire on the day of Ashura, and so on and so on. These are not established by authentic narrations. What is established by authentic narrations is the salvation of Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel from the tyranny of Fir'aun and his people. This is absolutely clear-cut established from the authentic ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, we stick with that particular aspect of the history of Ashura. There is also a tragic event that happened on the day of Ashura. It coincided with the day of Ashura. The day of Ashura was a great day in the Islamic calendar, but a particular event happened on the day of Ashura, which it was very tragic, and unfortunately it had to happen on such a holy day like the day of Ashura, and that was the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the leader of all the youth of Jannah, happened on this day, this 10th day of Muharram, this day of Ashura. So it is a moment of sadness for the Ummah that such a great personality of this Ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in His wisdom knows why this incident happened, this tragic incident, in the manner it happened, and on the day that it happened. But we say that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the rule, all the decrees that happen in this universe, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom in it. We take a great inspiration and lesson from the life of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this great personality of Islam in the service of the deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him in the footsteps of his illustrious father as a shaheed and a martyr in the cause of deenul Islam. And in the deen of Islam, shahadat and martyrdom is no strange thing, or it's not something unusual. We see great, great personalities who were made shaheed and martyred in deenul Islam. The second Khalifa, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the third Khalifa, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the fourth Khalifa, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great personalities like Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is known as Sayyidu Shuhada, Musa bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All these great personalities, all of them drank from the cup of Shahada. The martyrs, the 70 martyrs of the Battle of Uhud, the martyrs of the Battle of Badr, the martyrs of the other battles that took place in the history of Islam. All this is a grand legacy of sacrifice and giving of life in the path of Allah, and it is this sacrifice that has watered the garden of Islam. So this is a brief history relating to the day of Ashura.
Gee, wonderful. Jazakallah for the detailed explanation, Mufti Sahab. Now, Mufti Sahab earlier on mentioned with regards to fasting on a day of Ashura. So how many days should we be fasting for Ashura? And this year, which days should we be fasting, Mufti Sahab?
Yes, we should actually be fasting for 2 days of Ashura. The narration is of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that observe the fast of Ashura and oppose the Jews by fasting a day before it or a day after it. That is the 9th and 10th or the 10th and 11th of Muharram. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, if I live until the following year, I will definitely fast on the 9th together with the 10th. So we can see that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he not only prohibited his ummah from fasting on one day, but he encouraged them to fast an additional day, and he also indicated that he would do so. This year, the day of Ashura is on Saturday, so we should fast either Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday. We should fast either Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday. And as I mentioned, the rewards are great for fasting on the day of Ashura. We should try not to miss this fast. Why should we allow such a great opportunity to be missed? After all, we have 51 Saturdays, okay, besides the month of Ramadan and other times. But we have many Saturdays in the month, in the year, when we can eat and drink and make merry. One Saturday in the year to keep a nafil fast for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is so difficult in that? Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq that we do not miss out on these opportunities to gain reward, and we should try to keep the nafil fast of Ashura, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did not miss this fast.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Now, can Mufti Sahib please explain the hadith of spending on one's family on the day of Ashura?
Yes, as far as the subject matter of spending on one's family on the day of Ashura, there are a number of ahadith on this subject. Various sahaba have narrated the reward of fast spending on one's family on the day of Ashura. The reward, as has been mentioned, is that the one who spends generously on his family on this day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spend generously on him throughout the year. In other words, Allah Rabbul Izzat will grant barakah to him in his sustenance for the entire year. When we say Allah Ta'ala will be generous on him for the entire year, it means that Allah Ta'ala will give barakah to him for the entire year that follows after this. So, therefore, the importance of spending on one's family is established from ahadith. Yes, the ulama state that these ahadith, some of them are weak as far as the chain of narrators are concerned. But they say when several such narrations come together, the combination of such narrations give them a strength, and therefore there is absolutely no problem in practicing this. In fact, the great scholars of hadith, they have stated that we practice on this, and we found that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the barakah year after year after year. One great imam even mentions, Sufyan bin Uyayna, rahmatullah alayhi, says that I practice on this for 50 to 60 years, and I found nothing but good in it. So we see that in this day and age, where we are going through so much of economic difficulties and so on, to practice on this hadith will be meritorious and, inshallah, beneficial to secure the barakah and the prosperity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant to those who spend generously on their family on this particular day. Now, what is meant by spending generously on one's family? What it means that one may provide some additional food and drink and some extra items or some other items in the home, then this is what is meant by spending generously on the family. In other words, we buy a little extra over and above what we would normally buy just to show that generosity on this particular day. But at the same time, we have to be very cautious about, giving it a commercial kind of status, and people then talk about, you know, Ashura sales, and people talk about, you know, Ashura gifts, and people talk about Ashura dinners and all of these things. There's no basis for all these kind of additions to the deen. It is to spend generously on your close family, on the members of your household. It's one family living under one roof, that the father or the mother will spend a little extra so that the barakah can be achieved. There's no such a thing as Ashura gift. This now then almost begins to resemble a Christmas gift. So you must give me an Ashura gift, I must give you an Ashura gift. If I don't give you, you feel offended. If you don't give me, I feel offended. This is then becomes a custom and an innovation that has got no basis in Islam. So therefore, we should be very cautious that we don't go overboard. We practice as per the limits of the Sharia, and we do not go beyond the limits of Sharia as far as this is concerned.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahab. Now, many people might be having this question on their minds with regards to cooking a meal. Should it be done on Saturday or on Friday, on the 9th or on the 10th? Because in Islamic calendar, the night precedes the day. So how should this be done, Mufti Sahab?
Well, look, if they want to cook, you know, if they bought some food to cook, it first of all, it's about buying the food or buying the items that will be cooked and prepared. So if you bought it on that day of Ashura, on Saturday, right, then the barakah will be acquired. Whether it doesn't say you must eat it on that day. It doesn't say that you have to cook it on that day. There's no special meals, there's no special dishes that have to be cooked and prepared on the day of Ashura. If anybody says that there's a special dish that must be prepared and cooked on the day of Ashura, then they are innovating something in Islam. And they're adding something in Islam which was never found in the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba Ikram. So there's no special dish for Ashura. There's no need to cook a special meal for the day of Ashura. What it means is that one must spend generously during the day of Ashura. So whether you eat it immediately or you eat it after a few days, the fact that you bought it on the day of Ashura, that is sufficient. You may, for example, buy some fruits. Doesn't mean that you have to eat all those fruits up on the day of Ashura. You may have bought, you know, a 5-liter tub of ice cream. So does it mean that now you must sit down and finish the whole 5 liters of ice cream on the day of Ashura, Maulana? You may have bought a few slabs of chocolate. Now must you eat all the slabs of chocolate on the day of Ashura? No. What it means, you may have bought some pastries, you may have bought some cakes or whatever it is. You may have bought quite a lot of it. Does it mean that you have to eat it all on the day of Ashura? No. What it means, you bought it on the day of Ashura. You may then eat it any other time after Ashura, but the fact is you bought it on the day of Ashura, and that is where the significance lies. Not on the eating on the day of Ashura. It doesn't say that you have to eat it on the day of Ashura. It says you must be generous to purchase it on the day of Ashura.
JazakAllah for that clarification, Mufti Sahab. Now, early on, with regards to the history of Ashura, Mufti Sahab mentioned the incident of Karbala. So we as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, what should our Aqidah be as we hear different narrations, what happened on the day of Karbala? So what should our Aqidah be, Mufti Sahab?
Well, as it was explained earlier on, Maulana, that, you know, we do not mourn. We as Muslims, we do not mourn. For us, the day of Ashura is not a day of mourning. Indeed, we are grieved, we are saddened when we hear the tragic and the brutal manner in which Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu and his family were virtually chopped up, and they were slaughtered and they were killed on this day of Ashura. It is really hurting. It is very, moving. In fact, if you really sit down and you think about it and you picture that tragic incident itself, it will move you to tears. Right? But at the same time, that is not only confined to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. The same grief and sorrow we also feel on the martyrdom of other great personalities of Islam. When Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was martyred, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was grieved. How grieved he was on the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. That over and over he expressed his grief and sorrow on the shahadat of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. And 70 times he read his Salatul Janaza. And similarly, he was grieved on the martyrdom of Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, his cousin. He was grieved on the martyrdom of Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu ta'ala an, and Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala an in the battlefield, and Musab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the shuhada of Bir Ma'una radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and all the shuhada of Uhud. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seems to go and make dua maghfirat for them there, the mountain of Uhud. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba never mourned. They never saw them mourning on the shahadat of Sayyidina Hamza or the other shuhada of Bir Ma'una, etc. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for them. That is our aqidah and belief, that we do not mourn. We don't start ripping our clothes and, you know, pulling out our garments and, you know, pulling our hair and wailing and screaming and crying and doing all these kind of practices. These are not Islamic practices. There's no basis. In fact, it is from niyahatu min al-jahiliya. To mourn in this way is from the days of ignorance and darkness. So we have not been taught to perpetually mourn. What we have been taught is to make dua for the shuhada at all times, remember them. And we have been taught to take a lesson from the lives of the shuhada. That just as these great personalities, they sacrifice their lives selflessly for the service of Allah's deen, without any hesitation or fear or trepidation, this is the way in which we should also be willing to give ourselves for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are asked that, okay, leave alone sacrificing your life and all of that. At least sacrifice your haram desires. Sacrifice the desire to commit sin and all the wrong and evil practices that we are doing, the bad habits. We are just asked to sacrifice those things. But unfortunately, if we don't take these lessons from these great and august personalities of Islam, then we have lost the essence of their shahada. So therefore, one should have this aqidah and believe that the shuhada, they are alive by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِنِعْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The shuhada, they are alive. Don't say that they are dead. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They are alive, but just that we do not perceive their life. So that's our aqidah. The shuhada actually go to a higher form of life. They go to a superior form of life after this world. And they receive sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are given high ranks. So, this is our views regarding this. Alhamdulillah, I did give a detailed talk on the subject of the life of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who is this great personality? What were his qualities? When he was born, what was his childhood like, and how he was as a young person, how was his youth like, and how was he you know, how was his resemblance with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, etc. Alhamdulillah, I gave a talk on this subject a few times. If anybody is interested in listening to it, Maulana, they could go to our website, www.muftizubair.co.za, and they can download this. It's for free. They can download it and listen to it, or they can listen to it online, inshallah. At least it will give us some kind of idea who was Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. It covers also some aspects of his tragic shahadat, that how his family members, one were made shaheed, and how even in the middle of the battlefield, how firm and strong they stood on the principles of Islam. All of that is mentioned there.
Jazakallah for the detailed explanation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our beliefs with regards to Sahaba radiallahu anhum and with regards to Ahlul Bayt as well. Moving on further, Mufti Sahab, the questioner wants to know, can you read Tahiyatul Wudu before Sunnat of Fajr and Sunnat of Asr Salat?
As far as the Sunnat of Fajr is concerned, as soon as the time of Fajr sets in, then no Nafil Salah is allowed. So therefore, it will in fact be incorporated into the Sunnah of Fajr. Right. As far as the Asr Salah is concerned, there is no problem, it will be allowed. And it is rewarding, the Tahiyatul Wudu is greatly rewarding. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that it is the means of forgiveness of the sins of a person. The two rakats that a person reads of Tahiyatul Wudu. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala's footsteps were heard in Jannah by virtue of those two rakats of Tahiyatul Wuzu.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. Next question says, can Mufti Sahab please explain the making of wudu, especially the masa of the hands? Is it done up till the elbows, or how is it done?
Well, as far as wudu, the method of wudu and making of wudu is concerned, that is well known. It is in all the books of fiqh and jurisprudence. One can read up on the subject. As far as the issue of making of the masa of the hands, then the masa of the hands is not done up till the elbow. The hands are washed up till the elbow, but masa is just made, which is called khilal, to pass the wet fingers through. That is made of the fingers of both hands. That, if that's what perhaps our brother is referring to, that which is called khilal as masa. So yes, that is the khilal of the fingers is done in the wudu. But there is no masa per se, and neither is it done till the elbow. The hands are washed up until the elbow.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. Next question with regards to Salah. Mufti Sahab, how must I calculate the awwal waqt of Zuhr if Zuhr time sets in at 12 and Asr is at 4:30?
Well, if you want to work out the Zuhr time, the simple, you know, when is Zuhr time and when is Asr time doesn't have a bearing. It is about 2 or 3 minutes after Zawal. That is when the time of Zuhr Salah sets in. As soon as the Zawal, that is midday, is over, then the time of Zuhr sets in.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. Next question says, I'm a very shy person. I don't like to meet with people in a masjid. Can I stay at home and perform my Salah?
No. The Salah must be read in the masjid. There is no basis for a person to miss the Salah in the masjid, even if they're feeling shy. I mean, if you are feeling very shy and you do not want to mix with the people, you don't have to mix with them. Nobody says you need to mix with anyone. Come to the masjid, read your Salah quietly. As soon as the Salah is over, you may leave immediately. You don't even have to read your Sunnah and Wajib and the other Nawafil in the masjid. You can read your Farz Salah and leave immediately and go and read your Sunnahs and Nawafil at home. But as far as the Farz Salah is concerned, shyness cannot be a grounds of missing out the Farz Salah with the Jama'at.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab, we'll take one more question before we break for our news bulletin. The questioner says, one of my friends said it to me that we are not allowed to ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to intercede for us while standing beside his grave in Medina. He said that no Sahabi has ever done this. Is that correct?
No, this is not correct. One may seek intercession from Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at his graveside in Medina Munawwara. This is something that is authentic and it is established.
Wonderful. Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. Inshallah, we'll continue after our news bulletin with Maulana Ahmad Waja, and then inshallah, we continue after 9 p.m. The lines will also be open. You can call on 011-854-1548 if you have any questions, especially with regards to Muharram and with regards to Ashura or any other related questions. You can call us on 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the SMS and WhatsApp number is 076-786-2984. Time right now is 1 minute to 9 o'clock. Next up is our news bulletin with Maulana Ahmad Waja. 10 minutes past 9 o'clock. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. This is our weekly Fiqh Q&A program, and we have on the line all the way from Durban Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, the Amir of Darul Ihsan, who is answering your questions. So if you have any queries, any questions on your mind, the lines are also open. You can call on 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can SMS me or WhatsApp me on 076-786-2984, and inshallah we will try and pose these questions to Mufti Sahab. So we welcome Mufti Sahab on the line again. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum. Okay, our engineer brother Tufail will try and get Mufti Sahab back onto the line. In the meantime, the number is 076-786-2984. Alternatively, you can call us on 011-854-1548. Whatever queries you may have, you can SMS me or WhatsApp me, and inshallah, we will try and pose these questions to Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab Damat Barakatuhum. And just to remind our listeners, if you are unable to pose your questions this week, then definitely, inshallah, we will then forward it to the next Mufti that will be coming on next week's program. We do not we take the questions as they come in, first come, first serve, and according to that we will pose those questions. And if it's not answered in this week's program, then inshallah definitely it will be answered on our next Fiqh Q&A program. So our engineer brother Tufail is trying to get hold of Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab. In the meantime, the number to call is 076-786-2984. That's the SMS number, and that's the SMS number, and that's the WhatsApp number, and the landline number is 011-854-1548. Our Tufail will try and get Mufti Sahab onto the cell phone, inshallah. Mufti Sahab's battery died, so he's going to try and call Mufti Sahab onto the cell phone. So far we were discussing with regards to the day of Ashura, with regards to the virtues of Ashura, with regards to the history of Ashura in details. In the first hour, Mufti Sahab explained regarding all of this, regarding the month of Muharram, regarding the virtues of fasting on the 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. Mufti Sahab also mentioned that it's best to fast on Friday and Saturday, which will be the 9th and 10th. Otherwise, 10th and 11th, which will be Saturday and Sunday. Whenever, and Mufti Sahab also encouraged us, this is a fast of Ashura. First, previously it was obligatory. Before the fast of Ramadan, it was compulsory. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it voluntary for us. So we shouldn't be missing out. We will witness many more Saturdays that will be coming, but we won't witness the day of Ashura that will be that's only once a year, and it great rewards that Mufti Sahab has mentioned with regards to that. And then also Mufti Sahab mentioned to spend on one's family members on the day of Ashura. There's great virtues also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous to him throughout the year. So we need to spend on our family members and shouldn't go out of our way and should not make it a bidat and innovation with regards to giving one another gifts and that. But this is just for one's family members. Whatever you spend a little bit more on your family members. And then we also discuss with regards to the incident of Karbala and the Shuhada that passed away, all the martyrs that passed away in the incident of Karbala. And Mufti Sahab explained the virtues of them and what our Aqidah should be with regards to the Karbala. So we're just trying to get hold of Mufti Sahab on his cell phone number. In the meantime, our engineer Tufail is trying to get hold of Mufti Sahab. So let's just go for a short break. When we return, inshallah, our engineer Tufail is indicating to me that he has Mufti Sahab on the line. So let's try Mufti Sahab one more time. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله مفتي صاحب.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته مولانا.
جي جزاك الله for your valuable time مفتي صاحب. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى reward you.
I'm sorry مولانا, the phone battery died. I just hope my battery doesn't die, that's all.
جي just sometimes it's not in our control, also it's beyond our control, and from Allah سبحانه وتعالى I'm sure our listeners will understand it, no problem مفتي صاحب. Early on we were speaking with regards to Ashura and Muharram مفتي صاحب. A question came in. The listener wants to know what intention must be made for these Muharram fasts and the fast of day of Ashura. Should it be for Nafil or Sunnat? What should our intention be مفتي صاحب?
We should just make the intention of fasting for Ashura. That's all. That is sufficient.
Gee, okay. Jazakallah. We have few callers on the line. Let's take the callers first. Let's give the preference. Let's give them preference. Call number one. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Gee, what's your question, brother?
My question is, I want to know who is Wahhabi and what, how did they started?
Okay, inshallah, the history of Wahhabi and
yeah,
who are the Wahhabis.
Please, I want to hold Wahhabis, yeah.
Jee, you can listen off on the radio, on the radio. You can put a phone down, inshallah, Mufti Sahab will respond to that.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Jee, Mufti Sahab.
Malana, you know, there was a personality by the name of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab was a personality from Saudi Arabia, from Najd.
Yeah.
And he adhered to the teachings of Allama Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, and Allama Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, who were Hanbali scholars.
Yeah.
So, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab was actually a Hanbali alim and scholar. And he prescribed to the interpretation of the Hanbali school and the teachings of these two great scholars, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah and Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah alayh. So the people who follow Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, because his name was Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, so therefore they are known as Wahhabi, because he's... his father's name was Abdul Wahhab. So on the basis of his father's name being Abdul Wahhab, they're known as Wahhabi, or this is the name that was kept of those who are his adherents and followers. They are called the Wahhabi.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. A question came through. It says, is it permissible to make nikah on the day of Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram?
Why not? By all means. You may be fasting, it's alright, it doesn't matter. You can have the walima in the night. Yes. So, yes, there's no prohibition at all to have a nikah on the day of Ashura.
Maybe the listener thinks it's a day of mourning. They shouldn't
be. Therefore the clarification was given earlier on that it is not a day of mourning. That is not our aqidah and belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yeah. So therefore, one may, we're going to buy things for the family. We spend generously on the family. We go shopping on the day of Ashura. So if it's a day of mourning, do you see people going to shop when the father passed away or a mother passed away? Do you see anybody going shopping on that day? No. So this is not a day of mourning in that sense that, you know, we do feel the grief, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be mourning.
Jazakallah for that explanation. We move back to the lines. There's another call. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Firstly, Mufti Sahib and Mulana, my salams and my duas to your what inspiring talks here. I just wait for this night every Tuesdays, you know. I've got two questions, but my duas is Mufti Sahib and Mulana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you all the Imams of our Rasulullah and make all the ulama of make you the wali Allah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And
I mean, may Allah ta'ala make us as per your kind du'as the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the loyal and obedient followers of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ameen, summa ameen. And inshallah, for Mufti Saab and Maulana, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enter you from the 8th gate of Jannat, that's the gate of Rihan, to Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen, summa ameen.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen.
Mufti Saab, I've got two questions. Number one is one of my friends now, he just phoned me on just last week and he tells me that he's really disappointed. But no, it's not a thing of disappointed. We've got to work towards everything in a very simply and educated manner, you know. Number one is that when he had to read, he says, Ya Ghaus al-Azam, and he says, Ya al-Madad. So one of the very learned scholars from one of the stages I won't mention said, no, he's a kafir, like by reading this, right? That's number one. And number two is like, one of the musallis in the masjid, I've seen him reading Salah, and his pants was right down below his ankle, right touching his, right down at the bottom. So when he finished his namaz and everything, so I just got hold of him separately, kindly in one corner. Then I explained him, you know what, your pants must always be above your ankle. Never mind, you can use the jeans, but fold it up. Fold it right up, and in fact, your kurta as well must not be below your ankle. It must always be, at least try and make it below your knee, you know. And he took offense on those two things. So the first one was, just by reading Ya Ghaus al-Azam, Ya al-Madad, right? So I want to explain my friend what is right, what is wrong. Number two is using your pants and your kurta below your ankles, you know. What is the disaster for that? On the radio, right?
Jazakallah for calling in. No. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reward
you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ji Mufti Saab, did Mufti Saab get both the questions?
Ji Maulana. As far as, you know, we should not call out to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, help us, O Allah, assist us. That is the correct way. And as far as the pants are concerned, the pants should be kept above the ankles and all other garments, as our respected elder mentioned there, to that person who was wearing it the wrong way. He explained it to him in a nice way, that try and keep, even if you're wearing jeans, you should keep your pants or your garments above your ankle. That is the proper Islamic way of dress for men. For women, they obviously should cover their ankles, but for men, they should keep their ankles open.
Jazakallah, we move back to the lines. There's another caller. Assalamu alaikum.
You know what I wanted to ask Mufti Saab? Like, as Mufti Saab say, we must buy the things on Ashura day.
Yes.
Now, me, I'm old, and my husband don't drive, I don't drive. Say, on that day, I can't manage to go to the shop if it's raining or something. Then can I buy it beforehand?
And make niyat for that.
Buy it the day before or 2 days before and make the niyat for the day of Ashura.
Okay, let Mufti Saab answer it. Mufti Saab?
Okay, you know, if a person, we should try our best to buy it on the day of Ashura. That is when the virtue is mentioned for. But out of helplessness now, if a person could not go and bought it a day before or something like that, we hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that Allah ta'ala will give that barakat, inshaAllah.
InshaAllah.
Because the intention was definitely there. Just that, you know, because of circumstances, it wasn't possible. So Allah ta'ala, inshaAllah, will give as per the intention of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful and kind. And if Allah, you know, if they could not go due to the circumstances, they explained, then they must have hope in Allah's mercy. And Allah ta'ala will grant it to them, inshaAllah.
InshaAllah. Ameen. There's another caller also. Let's take that caller. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, caller, assalamu alaikum. Caller, you are live on air. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, it seems like they cut the call. You can still call us back. The number is 011-854-1548. Whoever wants to call, the number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the SMS and WhatsApp number is 076-786-2984. Muftis, up next, SMS question says, what's the ruling of reading Salah with a short sleeve in summer, despite the weather? And that, what's the ruling, Muftis, up? Can one read Salah in short sleeves?
Maulana, it is makruh to read the Salah with short sleeves, because short sleeves are deemed to be casual wear. And the dignity of Salah requires that we should stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with dignified garb. We should stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best possible garb. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ya bani adam, khudhu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at the time of every Salah, in the time of prostration, you should actually adorn yourself and take your beauty. In other words, adorn yourself in a beautiful way by wearing good garbs, good garments. One is standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not standing in any other low court of this world. All the high courts of this world are low courts in comparison to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are standing in the loftiest and the highest of all courts. We have high court in this world, but this is the highest of all courts. So therefore, in the courts of this world, you are not allowed to enter with casual garb, because it is not befitting that particular setting of the court, and the magistrate will probably, dismiss and basically evict that person who comes dressed, inappropriately, and he will probably charge him for contempt of court. Because they say that, for the court, you've got to have formal and appropriate garb and dress. Now, these are the small, little courts of this world. Here we are standing in the court of the ruler of all rulers, the king of all kings, Allah Rabbul Izzat. So we can imagine what is the dignity and the status of such a court. Therefore, one should uphold that and dress appropriately. We go for meetings also. You don't see people dressing casually. People go for functions. There are clear notifications that strictly formal dress. Strictly by formal dress. So when it comes to all these little functions of the world, people adhere to the formality of the dress. How can it be that we are going to stand in the court of Ahkamul Hakimeen when we are going to Salah, that we just go anyhow shabbily dressed? That is not becoming. Therefore, one should not read the Salah with short sleeves. Over and over, these things are explained to the brothers, but we find that unfortunately, this is a lack of respect for Allah's court and the Salah itself, that people are willing to read the Salah in the most unbecoming of garb.
Jazakallah for that beautiful explanation, Mufti Sahab. We're going back to the lines. There's another call. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Gee, you live on air. What's your question?
I asked a question about the Wahhabis. I want a full explanation. Why they became Wahhabis and why we don't follow them.
Okay, inshallah, Mufti Sahab will answer to that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Gee, Mufti Sahab.
Yes, well, I think the brother was asking earlier on about who are Wahhabi, so I just explained basically these are the followers of Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab.
Yes.
Now, all the history and all of that, that's a long subject. I think, inshallah, I don't exactly know what references there are,
okay,
but a person can read up on the subject. Whatever there is materials, it's quite a long history, and I don't have all of that information in front of me right now. So inshallah, whoever wants to read up, they can just find out from the ulama in their locality, is there any books on the subject, and they can read up.
Jazakallah. We move on. There's another call also. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Hello?
Gee, you live on air?
Jazakallah for taking my call and mashallah for an excellent program. Mm-hmm. I would just like to make Jane.
Jazakallah khair for that comment.
Jazakallah too. I'd just like to make a comment and correct me if I am not saying the correct thing. Surah Fatiha, alhamdulillah, gets read a few million times a day. Hmm. And in that it says, Ya kana abadu wa ya kana stayin. Only you do we worship and you do we ask for help.
Hmm.
Right?
Gee.
So that in itself being the first chapter of the Holy Quran, we can take a lesson from that we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Jazakallah.
Okay, jazakallah for those comments, brother.
Yes, jazakallah. I understand what the brother is referring to, the earlier question that came in, that, you know, asking help from people other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's making reference to the Quranic verse that says that we should seek help only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we shouldn't ask anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. That is the meaning of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. Moving on with our SMS questions. Earlier on, our discussion was with regards to Ashura. So the question I want to know, is it okay to give one's immediate family gifts on Ashura as we don't give birthday gifts and not to make it a must, but it's a good opportunity to spend on the family and exchange gifts with one another. Unfortunately, we don't give in this time of the year, then we tend to neglect the sunnah of exchanging gifts. Although we say it is Muharram gifts, our intention is to act upon the sunnah of exchanging gifts. Mufti Sahab's comments regarding this?
You see, again, the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Man wassa'a ala ayalihi fil nafaqa. The one who spends generously on his homestead, you know, on the people of the home, the people of the family, then Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him generously from his treasures. So, you know, it doesn't have to be confined to a gift. Yes, if a person wants to give a gift, that is fine. But then we should not be calling it a Muharram or an Ashura gift. And nor is it a requirement to exchange gifts. You know, this exchanging of gifts, this is where the problem comes. Because what happens is, a person gives a gift to someone, that person now reciprocates. If he doesn't reciprocate, it becomes an issue. People feel, well, you know what, look at these people here. We gave them such a nice gift, they couldn't even give us back something. So that is where the issue becomes, you know, problematic. People actually then lose the whole essence. You do not have to exchange gifts. In other words, it doesn't mean that I bought a gift for you, so you have to buy a gift for me. This exchanging of gifts, this has got no basis for Ashura. You could give a gift to someone. If that person wants to give you a gift, they can give you. If they don't want to give you, they don't give you. And it should not necessarily be confined to the day of Ashura. Ashura was meant to spend generously on the members of your household. That's what it is. Buying a few extra things for them in terms of food and drink and so on. But, you know... Now, to make a formal exchange of gifts and so on, no, that is not a thing that is found in any day in the Islamic calendar, not even on the day of Eid. So, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's guidance and teaching regarding exchanging of gifts is general and broad, unrelated to any particular day of the Islamic calendar. For example, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in one hadith, Tahabdu tahabbu. Give gifts and let the mutual love between the parties grow. So by giving gifts, the mutual love will grow. But that's not necessarily only between relatives, not necessarily only between family. It can be with friends and so on. So this giving of gifts is a broad-based teaching of Dinul Islam, and it is not confined to a particular day. If we start saying that no, you know, we want to give it on Muharram and Ashura day because we're not giving it in other times in the year, then that means that we are trying to make it special to the day of Ashura. And that is where the problem comes in. because the giving of gifts is not special to the day of Ashura. That is meant for throughout the year.
Hmm.
So therefore, we must just do practice as much as has been given to us, the directives, and we should not add things from our own side.
Hmm.
Hazrat Mufti Sayyid Mutara Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, senior Mufti of our country, one of the Muftis of Jamiat al-Ulama, and Mufti of Darul Uloom Azad, Mufti Sahib, very clearly made mention recently in one of his talks that it is not from the Sunnah to exchange gifts on this day of Ashura.
Hmm.
In other words, this exchange of gifts and so on, that is not something that is a Sunnah. What is mentioned in the Ahadith, Mufti Sahib mentioned in his little talk on this matter, is to increase on what one usually spends on the immediate family. On the immediate family, that is your children, your parents, your wife, your siblings.
Mm.
Just to increase a little bit on what one usually spends on them.
Mm.
That is sufficient to acquire the virtue.
Mm.
And Mufti Sahib also warns there that, you know, Ashura has now become unfortunately commercialized with advertisement of gifts, etc., being sold for Ashura. Give your loved one an Ashura gift and buy an Ashura gift, and this is an Ashura special, and this is an Ashura. We're inviting you to an Ashura supper. Mm. Allah knows where it's going to end.
Mm.
You know, it was meant just for the immediate family, and that's what it should be kept to.
Mm-hmm. Jazakallah for that beautiful explanation, Mufti Sahib. We know that Mufti Sahib has commitments. Tomorrow Mufti Sahib will be traveling, but last two questions, and inshallah we terminate the program. The questioner says, with regards to the day fast of Ashura, I missed 7 days of the month of the Ramadan fast because I was pregnant, and I didn't buy my missed days yet because I'm breastfeeding, but can I still fast for Ashura?
Yes, absolutely. There's no problem. You will get the reward, inshallah ta'ala.
And then finally, Mufti Sahib, early on, Mufti Sahib mentioned, maybe I'm not sure if the listener, what the listener heard, but the comment says, Mufti Sahib, I don't understand how you could say that it was a coincidence that Imam Hussein was martyred. Coincidence doesn't make sense. Maybe what Mufti Sahib tried to say, that the day of Ashura maybe felt on the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Can Mufti Sahib please clarify that?
No, what I mentioned is, the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala coincided with the day of Ashura. Mm-hmm. What is the meaning of coincide? Means that it just happened that it occurred on the day of Ashura. That's coinciding.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what the caller is objecting to. You know, when we're saying that it coincided with this day, he could have passed away on the 9th, he could have passed away on the 11th, but it so happened that it coincided with that particular day of Ashura. That's what we say.
Hmm.
It's a matter of, usage of language and interpretation.
See. Maybe what the listener is trying to say is it's in taqdeer, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe that's what the listener is trying to tell us.
So that is quite obvious and evident to every Muslim. Every event in this universe happens by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also mentioned that it was by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu acquired martyrdom.
Jazakallah for that clarification and explanation. Jazakallah for your valuable time, Mufti Sahib. We really appreciate it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice upon the advices that you rendered.
Ameen, summa ameen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take Mufti Sahib safely wherever Mufti Sahib is traveling to, and bring Mufti Sahib back safely also, inshallah.
Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, who is the Amir of Darul Ihsan, the founder of Darul Ihsan as well, which is in KZN, and also the Imam of Masjid al-Taqwa in Sea Cow Lake in Durban. That's where Mufti Sahib makes Imamat and has his weekly majalis and weekly programs that takes place from Sea Cow Lake Masjid in Durban. Mufti Sahib was answering all your questions, especially with regards to the day of Ashura, with regards to the history of Ashura and the fasts of Ashura. Ashura that will be taking place either Friday, Saturday or Saturday, Sunday. That's the days that we need to keep our fast, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability and tawfiq to fast on these Mubarak days and these blessed days of the month of Muharram. That brings us to the end of our weekly Fiqh Q&A program. We see many SMSs and WhatsApp messages that came through. Unfortunately, due to Mufti Sab's commitments also and due to constraint of time, we could not take all the questions. We try to take all the Ashura and Muharram related questions in today's program. So whatever questions that are unanswered, inshallah, we will give them preference for our next week's Fiqh Q&A program. We will forward these questions during the course of the week to the Mufti. That will be Hazrat Mufti Siraj Desai Sahab Damat Barakatuhum. But we say Jazakallahu Khairan for tuning in, and from myself, Suhaib Lasania, and my engineer brother Tufail Patel. Till next time, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.